Tonight on the Worldview Report, one of the largest countries in Europe is getting ready to launch a digital biometric ID system that will be required in order for citizens to obtain government-sponsored health care. We've got a report on how this type of system, already deployed in India, is shutting thousands of children out of the educational system. The U.S. Department of Energy gave China the rights to a new type of battery capable of powering an entire house for decades. And it was all funded by you, the American taxpayer. We've also got an update on the growing toll of young, healthy people who are dying suddenly. Perfectly fine one day, gone the next. We'll bring you an exclusive interview with a Ukrainian immigrant who is now living the American dream, but concerned that her adopted homeland is now on the verge of going communist. Get ready for all these stories and much more as the Worldview Report begins right now.
This is Worldview Report with host Brennan House. Whether it is news from the nation's capital or your state capital, from the classroom to the boardroom, from national security to national and local news that impacts you and your family, Worldview Report is your trusted source for vital and uncensored news. And now, here is Brennan House.
Good evening and welcome to the Worldview Report. I'm your host, Brennan House. French lawmakers have approved a plan to launch a biometric digital health card. So reports Ken Macron for Activist Post. The project was pushed as part of the financial aid package to address the cost of living crisis. France has a health card called Carte Vitale, which allows those registered in the country's healthcare system to get reimbursements for medical costs. The payments are made automatically because the card is linked to the user's bank account. The biometric Carte Vitale has strong support from conservative lawmakers, and they made it a condition for them to pass the financial aid package. Supporters of the new Carte Vitale argue that it will help combat welfare fraud. Explaining how it would work, center-right MP Bazin said the card will have a chip that would contain, quote, physical characteristics of the insured, such as their fingerprints, end quote, to enable identity verification. Biometrics ensure that only the cardholder can use the card, and the chip would allow for instant deactivation once the card is reported stolen. Those who oppose the biometric card warn that the process will be lengthy, costly, and another threat to privacy. As always, privacy-stealing technologies of this sort are sold to the public as being more safe, secure, and convenient. But they end up being none of the above, as you have now handed all your personal information over, and it can and will be used against you, not to mention sold for a profit to third parties. Continuing with world news about the drive toward a one-world global ID system, we have an article from Jeremy Loffredo at the Activist Post that describes how millions of children in India can't go to school because they failed to submit to India's biometric ID system. That system in India is called Aadhaar, and it includes a social credit scoring system. And the invasive system has been praised by, wait for it, Bill Gates. And some U.S. policymakers, they want to bring a similar social credit database to America. India is known as the most populous democracy in the world. It's also home to the largest national biometric digital system in the world. According to a report from Reuters last week, tens of millions of children in India are at risk of being excluded from school this year because they're not linked up to the biometric digital ID system. Aadhaar, India's federally operated biometric digital system, collected the names, fingerprint scans, and eye scans of 1.2 billion Indians. According to the report, India's 2009 Right to Education Act provides the legal right to free education for all children from 6 to 14 years old. But apparently, only children willing to submit to invasive biometric recording and tracking. Only they are able to enjoy this so-called right. Dipa Sinha, a professor at India's Ambedkar University, told Reuters that requiring the biometric digital ID for public school, quote, puts the onus on the citizen and makes it much harder for them to access, end quote, their own rights. If you're a regular viewer of the Worldview Report, you know that the COVID-19 gene therapy injections are already causing children and young adults to die. Now the UK-based Daily Exposé is reporting that a genocide is likely already well underway based on the data that has been released from confidential Pfizer documents, which, by the way, the FDA wanted to keep hidden from the public for 75 years. The FDA only released the documents because it was forced after losing a lawsuit. In the most recent data dump on August 1st, on page 12 of the confidential document, it contains data on the use of the Pfizer COVID-19 injection in pregnancy and lactation. Pfizer states in the document that by February 28, 2021, less than 3 months after the COVID vaccines were rolled out, there were 270 known cases of exposure to the mRNA injection during pregnancy. 46% of the mothers, 124, exposed to the Pfizer COVID-19 injection suffered an adverse reaction. Of those 124 mothers suffering this adverse reaction, 49 were considered non-serious adverse reactions, whereas 75 were considered serious. So what does this mean? It means that 58% of the mothers who reported suffering adverse reactions suffered a serious adverse event ranging from uterine contraction to fetal death. The FDA knew this and allowed the vaccines to continue being administered under greater and greater duress, as many women were threatened with the loss of jobs if they did not get the shot. The U.S. Department of Energy gave China the rights to a green battery capable of powering an entire house for decades, which cost millions of tax dollars to develop. That's according to a new report. Designed at a U.S. government lab near Seattle, the Vanadium Redox Flow battery was manufactured by a company in Washington State called Una Energy Technologies until last year, when the Department of Energy license transfer effectively sealed its fate to a Chinese company. The revelation comes from NPR, which investigated the matter in partnership with the Northwest News Network. They found that the Department of Energy violated its own licensing policies. The chief financial officer of Forever Energy, one of several U.S. companies that have been trying to obtain the license, told NPR, quote, "This is technology made from taxpayer dollars. It was invented in a national lab. Now it's deployed in China and it's held in China. To say it's frustrating is an understatement," end quote. The battery's origins date back to 2006, when some two dozen scientists in the basement of the Pacific Northwest National Laboratory thought that a special mix of acid and electrolytes could hold vast amounts of sustainable energy. They eventually proved their suspicions, leading to 6 years of development and over $15 million in taxpayer dollars to perfect the battery. And now it's off to China. We'll be right back after this break.
Hello, I'm Mike Lindell. Years ago, when I invented my pillow, I was faced with every adversity you could think of. No retailers wanted to sell my pillow. That's come full circle. Vendors took advantage of me, and I was copied by China. Well, by the grace of God, I was able to get through all that and learn from it. I have a passion to help other U.S. entrepreneurs, and that's why I created my new platform, MyStore.com. We have hundreds of products from amazing entrepreneurs, and to celebrate, I'm going to put my pillows on MyStore.com right now. You can get my standard My Pillows regularly $69.98, now only $19.98 with your promo code. Or you can get my standard queen size, regular $79.98, now only $29.98. Or you can get my premium king size, regular $89.98, now only $34.98. So go to MyStore.com and use that promo code on your screen to get huge discounts on all My Store products. Thank you and God bless.
Welcome back. We have several new so-called sudden deaths to report tonight of young, healthy people. First off, the Daily Mail reports that two children sat next to the body of their mother for 8 hours after she died suddenly on a flight as the family returned home to the UK from Hong Kong. Helen Rhodes, described as a devoted wife and mother, died suddenly as she was traveling home to the UK with her husband, Simon, and their son and daughter on August 5th. A few hours into the flight, Mrs. Rhodes, a midwife, was found unresponsive and could not be resuscitated. It is believed she passed away in her sleep. Her body then remained in her seat for 8 hours next to her devastated children before the flight landed in Frankfurt. Mrs. Rhodes' body remains in Germany and is yet to be repatriated. Her husband and two children, Nathan and Emma, had to continue on to the UK without their mother. In another case, a coroner has asked the police in New Zealand to look into the death of a 12-year-old girl who collapsed while running in an Auckland park on August 4th. This was reported by Stuff. The identity of the young girl was not released, but she was an eighth grade student at Barrandine College of the Sacred Heart in Auckland. Multiple reports said that the incident took place after school hours and the girl passed away later that evening at the hospital. According to the police, preliminary investigations indicate the child experienced a, quote, some sort of medical event, end quote, while running. In other news, an Arizona high school football player, Cesar Vasquez, who had already started summer practices with Peoria Sentinel High School, died unexpectedly in his sleep last week. That's according to the CBS News affiliate Arizona Family TV 3 in Phoenix. Vasquez was 6'3", 270 pounds, with no known health problems. His coaches said he had a future as a college football player and possibly even as a professional in the NFL. But last week, when he went to bed, he never woke up. His mother, Brenda Gill, told Arizona Family News, quote, we started moving him and shaking him. We saw he was purple, so we called the ambulance. And when they came, they said he was dead and that they couldn't do anything else, end quote. He had no history of any serious health issues. He didn't do drugs, and as a result, his death has left his family with plenty of questions. Quote, we just have no clue what happened, end quote. That's what Gill said. Another super fit athlete, this time a 24-year-old soccer player in Ireland, died unexpectedly after collapsing on the field last Friday during a county senior championship game. The player, named Dylan, collapsed right before halftime, and he had to be helped off the field. The referee called off the game following the incident. After being transported from the field on a stretcher, he died at a university hospital nearby. A former Republican candidate for sheriff at Coweta County, Georgia, Jimmy Calloway, died suddenly at age 47 on Monday, August 8th, while he was in attendance at the Georgia Gang Investigators Association in Savannah. He was pronounced dead early Monday while at his hotel with his wife. Calloway was literally cracking jokes on Facebook about eating seafood the night before his death. Calloway ran for sheriff of Coweta County in 2020. He was the director of state investigations for the Georgia Peace Officers Standards and Training Council. The coroner said Calloway died of natural causes, but he was not suffering from any illness at the time of his death. But folks, it keeps going. A 31-year-old British actor, Sam Gannon, died suddenly on Tuesday, August 2nd. While visiting relatives in California. According to information provided by Gannon's family, the young man had traveled to California to spend time with relatives. Sam Gannon's cause of death is, like all the others in this report, unknown. So, you'll recall that last week, five doctors in Canada died over the course of 2 weeks, all of whom, with one exception, were considered to be in good health. Some in the medical community are calling for an investigation. Take a look at this analysis.
July 14th is when the fourth shot was available for frontline workers only. July 16th, Dr. Paul Hannum, 50 years old, marathon runner, ex-Olympian, died suddenly while running. July 17th, Dr. Lauren Siegel, 49-year-old otolaryngologist, died after a year-long battle with cancer. July 18th, Dr. Steve McKenzie, age unknown, reported as seriously ill, not disclosed the illness. July 21st or before, Dr. Jacob Sawicki, last August, he had minimal symptoms, but then the cancer aggressively attacked him, and that's what took his life. And then July 28th, we have Dr. Candace Naiman, only 27 years old, a triathlete who died while swimming. How common is it for five doctors, age 50 and under, to die within 2 weeks of each other in a metropolitan area about the size of 8 million people?
It's about the likelihood of finding a unicorn. You don't expect something like this to happen. So this is unprecedented.
That's an exceptional event. What does the life insurance call this? A 10 sigma event? Highly, highly unusual. Statistically possible, but highly improbable that they're not connected in some way.
If you look at it carefully, you see that this actually follows the data quite well. We're seeing a lot of these young people that exercise coming down with sudden adult death syndrome. They're calling it SADS. This is the tip of the iceberg. So this is happening elsewhere. And I think it's happening in a population now that should be well aware that this is completely, completely unprecedented. And
two of them, I believe, had fairly advanced cancer. Now, whether that was accelerated by the vaccines that they almost certainly took, they were forced to take, whether that played a part in the acceleration of their malignancy, I couldn't say. The others were, from all accounts, healthy individuals.
I think it's going to start to wake people up to the fact that these vaccines are actually quite dangerous.
The most obvious is the explanation, and that is the proximity, temporal relationship to the vaccination that these physicians were forced, literally forced to take. It demands serious, immediate investigation.
Jeanette McCurdy, a former child star for Nickelodeon, is blowing the whistle on how children are routinely drugged and raped by Hollywood executives and forced to engage in horrific sex acts with pedophiles in order to further their careers. McCurdy, who was the star of Nickelodeon's iCarly and Sam and Cat, claims she was repeatedly sexually abused by elites in the entertainment industry. Quote, "My whole childhood and adolescence were very exploited," end quote. McCurdy said in an interview with the New York Times, and it was cited by News Punch. At the age of 16, McCurdy was entering her third year on the hit teen sitcom iCarly, where she played the character Sam Puckett. The actress gets candid in her new memoir titled "I'm Glad My Mom Died," in which she details her toxic relationship with her mother and her time on Nickelodeon. According to the New York Times, McCurdy, now 30 years old, wrote in her memoir about embarrassing moments on Nickelodeon when she was asked to be, quote, "photographed in a bikini during a wardrobe fitting and being encouraged to drink alcohol by an intimidating figure she simply calls the creator," end quote. McCurdy said her mother never intervened, allegedly telling her daughter, quote, "everyone wants what you have," end quote. Sam and Cat aired for only one season during 2013 to 2014. And after the show's cancellation, Nickelodeon offered the former child actress $300,000 to keep her experiences at the network private. She refused the offer. In other news, an Episcopalian school in New York City invited a drag queen to its so-called Pride Chapel event recently, as high school-age children were encouraged to stand up and clap for the LGBTQ activist. According to the drag queen's TikTok, Grace Church School invited the activist, who goes by the name Britta Filter, to, quote, "teach the children," end quote. The drag queen wrote in a TikTok post, quote, "I literally went to church to teach the children today. A Catholic high school here in New York City invited me to their Pride Chapel," end quote. This is what he wrote, misstating the school's denomination, which is actually Episcopalian, not Catholic. Quote, "visibility matters, and I'm so honored to have had the chance to talk to you about my work as a LGBTQ plus drag queen activist," end quote. That's what he added. The video features a masked man introducing the drag queen, urging the high school students to stand up and welcome him. Quote, "her name is Britta Filter, and she is the queen of New York, end quote. He explained in the video that has recently gone viral. Watch this.
Her name is Britta Filter, and she is the queen of New York. Yeah.
And the people cheered wildly as the blasphemous act was invited right into the sanctuary of the church. An 80-year-old grandmother in Washington State has been banned from swimming at the YMCA after she complained that a, quote, man in a woman's swimsuit, end quote, was watching little girls change. 80-year-old Julie Jaman told Port Townsend City Council on Monday, quote, in an effort by the city and the YMCA to apply the neo-cultural gender rules at Mountain View pool dressing shower room facilities, women and children are being put at risk, end quote. Explaining why she feels this way, Jaman said on July 26, she was showering in the local pool's facilities when she heard, quote, a man's voice in the women's dressing area, end quote. When she went to look at what was going on, Jaman said she witnessed, quote, a man in a woman's swimsuit watching little girls pull down their bathing suits in order to use the toilets in the dressing room, end quote. We'll be right back after this break.
Hello, I'm Mike Lindell, CEO of MyPillow. Retailers, shopping channels, and now even banks have tried to cancel myself and MyPillow. During these times, your support has meant everything to us. My employees and I want to personally thank each and every one of you by passing the savings directly on to you. For example, you can get my Giza Dream bed sheets for as low as $39.99 a set. That's a savings of 60% and the lowest price in history. And remember, they're made with the world's best cotton, grown where the Sahara Desert, the Mediterranean Sea, and the Nile River all meet. They come with my 10-year warranty, and I guarantee they'll be the most comfortable sheets you'll ever own. So go to MyPillow.com now and use the promo code on your screen or call the 1-800 number below to get my Giza Dream bed sheets for as low as $39.99, the lowest price in history. If you do it right now, I'm also going to include a free gift with your purchase. Thank you and God bless.
In our commentary tonight, we'd like to feature the interview I was privileged to conduct while at CPAC in Dallas last week with Angela Grabowski, a native Ukrainian who immigrated to the United States in 1989 at the age of 23. She lived under Soviet communism and knows what communism is like. Now, she's living the American dream, having recently won the GOP primary for Indiana's 7th Congressional District, which includes Indianapolis. Listen to what this wise woman had to say about communism and her thoughts about where America is heading if we let it. Watch this.
All right, good morning and welcome again to CPAC 2022. You guys might want to turn, you know, I think we got our camera, our lights. That light should be coming to me, that light should be going to her. All right, I've got a very special guest here. Angela,
Grabowski.
All right.
It's a nice Ukrainian name.
A nice Ukrainian name. Now,
yes.
You have just won the primary.
I won the primaries in May
in
the
Indiana.
7th District in Indiana.
Yeah, okay. Now, this is going to be a very interesting interview, folks. I'm very, see, this is another example of how if we did not come to CPAC, we would not have met Angela, right?
Exactly.
I don't know you. Do you know me until right now?
I've heard about you.
You've heard about me. Well, that's
definitely
good.
Heard about Mike Lindell.
Oh, yeah, everybody's heard about Mike Lindell. But if I was not here at CPAC, this interview wouldn't be happening right now.
Exactly.
And yet, I believe the American people need to know what you have to say.
And I believe so, too.
Because this is a very interesting lady right here. She not only won her primary in Indiana and is now the Republican candidate for the U.S. Congress for which district in Indiana?
It's the 7th District, Indianapolis.
Indianapolis.
Very urban area, mm-hmm. but in my opinion, ready to flip.
Really? Well, not only that, as you can tell, she has a beautiful accent. She is Jewish.
Yes.
So we're big supporters of Israel. We love Israel.
Me too.
You know that. And she's also from Ukraine. So when we hear about the Jewish folks from Ukraine, you know all about that because you are Jewish and you're from Ukraine yourself.
Right, but I've lived in the States for the last 33 years. Yep. I immigrated with my family in 1989, as soon as the borders have opened, thanks to President Reagan and all American Jewry that basically asked Gorbachev to let us go. So we came here seeking the freedom of speech, freedom of being who we wanted to be, freedom of being the individuals as God made us. I believe that those freedoms are kind of being encroached by
Absolutely.
The government right now.
So well, let me get this straight. Yeah. You came out of the former Soviet Union.
Yes.
Because Ukraine was a part of the USSR.
Yes.
So you lived under communism.
23 years, but then again, knowing the stories of my parents and grandparents and great-grandparents that lived under the oppressive regime, we've all experienced what communism was all about, and not just economically. We were poor. We didn't know we were poor. We had seven of us living in 270 square feet apartment.
Good grief.
And, we had two meals a day. We were doing just fine.
Wow.
So, but it was the political oppression that people just couldn't take anymore. We were always afraid of knocks on the door. We were afraid of people that were around us because the communists have raised the generation of snitches, and we couldn't say what we believe because if we did, we could disappear for a very, very long time. So everybody was oppressed by the government and their ideas, their ideology. And as I said, you're for free speech. America is losing that free speech. America is losing that First Amendment right. And this is why I decided to step out. I'm not a politician, have never been involved in politics. Over 33 years, we've built pretty successful businesses. I'm a financial advisor and a wealth manager. I figured out how capitalism works.
Good for you.
I figured out the rules of the game, and this is what I suggest that everybody else does. Instead of trying to change the rules, figure out what they are and play by the rules.
You're very good communicator.
Can you imagine fearing that knock on the door? The knowledge that friends and family members can just disappear into a gulag and never return. Living in a country where the power belongs to the state and they criminalize all opposition. Folks, these are all realities of communism, and we're starting to see this rearing its ugly head right here in the United States of America. God help us, or we will become even worse than the Soviet Union was. Why do I say that? Because given the advancements of technology, the state will no longer need to rely on human snitches alone. It has a vast spying apparatus operated by computer algorithms that the Soviets could have only dreamed about. There's a lot of wisdom there from Angela, a woman who not only talks about reality and truth, but lives it. We wish her the absolute best in her general election campaign for Congress. Well, that does it for this edition of the Worldview Report. As always, folks, where are you going to hear these stories? Do you like that we put on this broadcast for you each and every day? Do you appreciate the fact that there's a team of about seven of us that spend around 15 man hours a day producing it? If you do, all I can say is we desperately need your help. We need your help to keep funding this broadcast. You can do that in the following ways. You can go to MyPillow.com and use the promo code B66. Sheets, towels, blankets, pet beds, slippers, sandals, and so much more. Mattress toppers. Check it out. Lots of products for you folks at MyPillow.com. But please, use that promo code B66. Beg your friends to go there and use the promo code B66 so they can support this broadcast. You'll get savings and we get credit. And it's a big part of our general operating budget. Then you can go to WVWTVstore.com. You'll find emergency freeze-dried food there along with other supplies. Put in another big order today, folks. We have plenty of inventory right now. I cannot promise you that will be the case forever. We have seen the inventory go up and down as far as our ability to obtain it. Right now we have plenty, but you need to order it while you can get it. WVW www.tvstore.com. www.tvstore.com. It has a 25-year shelf life. That, too, is a big part of our general operating budget. And then you can just simply make a contribution of any size, $5, $10, whatever. Make a contribution of any size, if you would, please, at wvwfoundation.com, wvwfoundation.com, where we are committed to using technology and our broadcast to proclaim the truth of the Christian worldview, to help people understand the times and know how God would have us to respond. wvwfoundation.com. Well, that does it for this broadcast. Thanks so much for watching. May God save America. Take care.